We certainly need to work while we can, as long as we can, as hard as we can, and just to work because the night does approach and the world is facing some things it's never faced before. But I'm glad I know the end of the story. I'm glad to know the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And I'm glad John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." One of these days he shall do that, and we shall be with him. Sometime this year, I want you to pray with me about this. I want to try to have a series of meetings, if I can find someone that the Lord would direct me to maybe bring some messages along the line of on prophecy and where we are on God's prophetic time clock. And I've done that before, but sometimes it's a little bit better when somebody else can do it and I can listen again and get some information also. And there are folks that really deal with that. That's what their subject matter is. And so I pray the Lord to direct us to a preacher that can, or an evangelist that can once again stir our hearts to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe He's even at the door. I believe He's there. And one of these days we'll hear the sound of the trump. And we'll go up to be with Him forever. And it's good to know where we are. But this week I know where we are as far as the plans for the days that are ahead. And that's the week that we have set aside this year for our missions meeting. And we want to deal this morning upon the subject of the motive for missions. And there must be a motive. Anything that we do is always backed by a reason. There's a motive why we do what we do in our personal life. And there's a motive for what we do in our spiritual life. And there should be a motive for missions. And we should never get tired of hearing that little word, missions. Because that's the heartbeat of God. That's the reason that we are in the place we are in. Is because one day God sent His Son. He became a missionary to come to this world. He died for us that we might live. And then tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And therefore we call that missions. If you would take your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter number 16. This is the chapter that we were in last week in our Sunday school lesson. And as Brother Gallagher taught the lesson, I jotted down some things and some things that I thought would maybe want sometime use. I didn't know I was going to use them this quick. And just to remember how important it is when He tells us to go into all the world. In chapter 15 of the Gospel of Mark, we find that this is the account of the resurrection of our Savior. This is where Jesus has come out of the grave and He is seen, and then He talks to His disciples, talks to His church. In verse number 9, 10, we find that they had there was a finding. They realized the Lord was not in the grave. And last Sunday I wrote that word down. That was the finding. They realized here in these verses that Mary Magdalene, of whom He had cast out seven devils, says when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, He appeared unto her. So there's a great finding. She realized that Jesus had rose from the dead. He was from the dead, just like He had told His disciples all the days before and the years of the ministry. And they didn't seem to understand it. They had a problem believing that. And Peter had a difficulty. And some of the other disciples said, "Lord, those things would never take place." She realizes that morning that when she comes and He appears to her, what a great finding that is, that Jesus had told them and now it has taken place. If you go on down just a little ways, you find that there's a failure on the part of the disciples in verse number 14. And the Bible says that they had unbelief and hardness of heart. What a failure it is in the life of a believer to not believe the Word of the Lord. What a failure it is in my life or your life when we just simply will not take the Gospel or take the Word of God at face value, because it really does say what it means and it really does mean what it says. And these disciples, they didn't even believe Mary when she came and said, "I've seen Him." And they just disbelieved. And the Lord here, the Bible says, He upbraided them because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they believe not. I'm afraid so many times I find myself, and we maybe find ourselves in that company of folks that believe not. And we have a failure in our life when we do not accept and believe everything that the Lord tells us and accepts that. And then I read on a little bit farther, and the Scripture says, and this is the verse I want us to use this morning. In verse number 15, He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." Preach the gospel to every creature. And here I believe even last week, Brother Gallagher used this term. This is their future. This is where this is the command that God has given them, that the Lord has bestowed upon them, and they have a future now. That future is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what? Their future that we read about is now past, but it's now our future that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Scripture says to every creature, the Scripture tells us that we're to follow the work of the Lord. So there was a finding, there was a failure, but thank God there's a future. In my life, in your life, we have a future as a believer, as a Christian, that we can go into all the world. Someone might say, "Preacher, how in the world can I go into all the world? How can I do that?" Well, you can go into the world you live in. You can go to the place where that you live, in the area where you live, and thank God we can be a good witness for Jesus Christ. We can tell our neighbors, we can tell our friends, we can tell our family, we tell our loved ones, we can be a witness to everybody that's around. And in that respect, we are going into all the world. But also we can do that by sending missionaries around the world and helping them to stay on the field. So this is the future of the church, to go into all the world. That's the future of Grace Baptist Church, that we are to go and to spend our time and efforts and even our finances in presenting the gospel to a lost and dying world, and presenting, and I always use this term, and I think it's one of the best terms that can be given, that we should present a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of messages out there. There's a lot of things being done. There's a lot of messages being given. But I'm talking about a clear presentation of who Jesus is, of what He did and why He did it, and what we can receive by believing upon Him. And so that's our future as a church. That's our future as a believer. It's a future that of a child of God, that we're to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord has rebuked them because of their unfaithfulness. He has rebuked them because of their unbelief. He has rebuked them for their hardness and coldness and indifference of heart. But after that rebuke comes this commission that we have before us to go and to preach. And then in verse number 20, the Bible says that they preached everywhere. That's what the focus was. They were focused not up only on their area, but everywhere, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the motive for missions literally is just simply, in two little words, the world. The world that is before us. And when we go out these doors this morning, we are facing the world. We face the world of our county, of our communities, of our state, of our country. We face the world of our of the many different nations. And as we study the questions of missions, there's some things that we certainly need to understand. First of all, what is missions? What's it all about? What is missions really about? Well, I believe missions probably is different to different people. To someone that's hungry and homeless, sometimes it's a place just to lay down and get a meal. That's a mission. To those that have needs of that respect, that is a form of missions. To many of them, it's intended to think that it's the TV that evangelists that maybe that goes and feeds the hungry and does things in other countries. But I believe the real understanding of missions to you and I this morning is that missions is the point where God calls an individual, God calls a family, God calls a people to go somewhere and to preach the gospel, that a church may be started and a church may begin, that they may do the same thing that we're doing here in Kentucky. It may be halfway around the world, but they preach and believe and do the same things that we do. We may not can understand their language We may not know all their culture. We may not know everything that's going on. But thank God, those folks in that area, when they have a missionary, when they have someone that will do what we do, then the same thing happens. Guess what? People get saved. People get baptized. A church is started and formulated. And God begins to bless that. And they're doing the same thing that we are doing. And that's what missions is all about. Missionary is one that goes. And where did it begin? Where does it begin? I believe it begins all the way back in the book of Genesis. And you can follow it all the way through the Bible, through the New Testament. That God has always been one that goes. All the way back to God coming to Adam and Eve and to get them out of their sinful nature and to give them a way of escape through the shed blood of that made coats of skins for them that represents and is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come over to the New Testament, you have the 12 disciples, and then later the 70 that are sent out by Jesus two by two, and they go out preaching. And then in Acts chapter 13, you have that church there in that chapter that goes and sends Paul and Silas, and they go everywhere preaching the gospel. That is the work of missions. That church of Antioch took up the burden. Jerusalem had failed. The church of Jerusalem did not go into all the world. They had to have a scattering. They had to have a persecution. And upon that persecution, they did scatter. They did go. But the Lord seemingly put His blessings upon this Gentile church of Antioch that now is sending out missionaries to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. And you know what? That method is still going on today. And the reason for that is our motive is that the world needs Jesus Christ. These flags this morning, as we've mentioned so many times, they represent multitudes of millions, even maybe billions of people that need the gospel, that need to hear the message of salvation. And I can be involved in that. I can get involved in that by what I do and doing things for the Lord. We need a mighty power, and that mighty power, I believe, is to pray. One of the best things that a missionary can do is to make sure he gets alone with God, to make sure that he knows how to get a hold of God. I heard once again this week the testimony of Brother Solomon. He preached last week or so back, and there's a large church, and they videoed it, and it's professional, and someone put it on my email, and I watched it again and was thrilled. To realize how that God answered his prayer. And you know what? God not only answers missionary Solomon Olavi's prayer, but God answers my prayer. And God can answer your prayer. And I hear testimony time and time again of people saying, I prayed and the Lord answered and the Lord gave. That's a great motive to understand that the Lord will do exactly what He says He will do. And we certainly need to be a praying church for those that are preaching the gospel in the regions beyond. I put in the PowerPoint this morning our missionaries there in Ukraine. And we've prayed for them these last few weeks because of the struggles that are taking place. And the Lord willing, Brother O'Brien is supposed to have him scheduled for next year's mission meeting. They're supposed to be here back for that. They may be back before then. But we know, we realize the struggles that are taking place and the harm that is very evident there. And certainly we need to be able to get a hold of our God and to pray for men and women and families that are under the possibility of difficulty. And they're not the only ones. There's many of them that have the struggles of life. We need that mighty power to pray. We need the manpower to go and to tell the gospel, tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God the Lord has picked out some of our congregation, some of our people are, and our preachers are out preaching in different areas. And that's a very important part of missions. And not only for us to have it here, but we send it out into the world that people would hear the message of salvation. Thank God for that. So we need that manpower. And when you come down to missions, you might as well get ready for it, because we need the money power also. That's what missions is all about. It takes a dollar. It takes more than a dollar. It takes the dollars to do anything that we do, and it takes dollars to do everything they do. And so the Lord blesses churches, and the Lord takes people like us that maybe are few and not great in number, but God can use us to be a blessing to a number of folks because of our willingness to give. Just consider the world. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." I'm glad I'm a part of that world. I'm glad that I can count myself a part of the world that God sent His Son into, and we can be a part of that ministry and part of that people. But now that He's saved me and saved all of us, we have that same world before us that tells us that God loves the world. And the Bible tells us here that He has expressed that love, that He has given His life, He laid down His life for you and I. Sometimes we hear that so much that it really doesn't have an effect like it should. But do we realize that Jesus Christ laid down His life willingly that I might live, that you might live, and that the world might hear, and they also can live? That was a sacrifice. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3, verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He hath laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And so there's a sacrificial love that is expressed in what Jesus did for us. His love was sincere to us. His love is a saving love. Thank God, He didn't just love me. He loved me with an effect upon me. He loved me with a result that came. And no matter how sinful a man or a woman, boy or girl may become, no matter how many deeds we have in our body, Jesus died for our sins, yes. But thank God He died for my sin nature, of who I really am. I was a sinner by nature. I was born to sinner. The world is born in sin. And Jesus died for the nature of every individual as a sinner. That's manifested in these things, the Scripture says. Our sin nature is manifested in our lives. Our sin nature is manifested in our dealings with people and our wickedness and everything that we do reveals that we are a sinner. We're not a sinner because of what we've done. We do what we do because we're a sinner. And therefore, Jesus died for the sin nature and the sins of mankind. Thank God it was a saving love for you and I. His grace is a great love that through faith can save anyone. He will in no wise cast out. The Lord has never turned His back upon anyone that will come unto Him. The Lord would never say no. The Lord would never say, "Oh, you're not worthy," because we're not worthy. The Lord would never say, "I don't want you," because He died that we might come. And so therefore, it is a saving, secure love that will make us eternity-bound child of God, headed toward heaven, headed toward glory. And so this morning, this thing of motivation, to be motivated because the world out there is dying. And if it dies in the condition that it's living in, we know the end result of that is an eternity without God, an eternity without hope. So we find this morning the extent of God's love is to all that will believe. You know why we are children of God this morning? Because one day we heard the gospel and we believed. We trusted. We accepted. We understood. And we did that by faith. And the Bible says that faith is a gift that comes from God. And so therefore we can say that all of our salvation, everything about our salvation, is what God did for us, not what we did for God. It's what the Lord revealed in us and to us. And therefore, He gave us faith whereby we could believe and accept what He tells us about ourselves. We maybe didn't like to hear that we were sinners. We maybe didn't like to come to a face in a mirror and see us exactly the way God saw us. But that's where we have to come. That's where we have to be to understand that we have nothing that we can present. Nothing have I in my hand to bring. Nothing do I have. Nothing I can cling to. All I have to do is to come to Him in believing the Lord Jesus Christ. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," the Scripture says. And it tells us that He has appeared unto all men. That means the world. The motive for missions. The reason this morning that we give of our finances and give of our time is because there's a multitude of people. And by the way, that multitude is growing a lot faster than our multitude. The people that are dying without God on the face of this earth is multiplying time and time again over the people of God. And we are in the minority, and we are seemingly bombarded with all the things of the world. But you know what? There is a power of the gospel. And when the gospel is preached and the gospel is given, then the salvation is restored and given to those that will be believers. The Scripture tells us that our character has been corrupted by sin. We've been corrupted. The world outside the door this morning, and you'll go out this afternoon and you'll go to town, maybe throughout this week you'll go to different places and you'll rub shoulders and you'll talk to folks, and you know what? They have nothing in common with us on a spiritual realm. They have been corrupted by sin just like we were corrupted by sin before we knew the Lord. And we better understand that it's by the grace of God that we're not still where they are now. Our character, the Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one of us in here this morning that has any righteousness of our own. Only thing that we have is what has been given to us, and it's called the righteousness of God. It's that given, that free gift. We call it the imputed righteousness. God gives it to us, and we're covered with the righteousness of the Lord, and thank God for that. And when God from heaven looks down upon me, He sees me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees me as righteous. I'm glad this morning that even though my character had been corrupted and had been torn apart and torn asunder by sin, I'm glad that there is a conversion that comes and there's a salvation that comes to an individual that will believe. His character has been destroyed. His life has been left undone, but thank God for a conversion that comes. There is that uncontrolled tongue sometimes that spews out the bitterness and spews out the wickedness of the heart of man. Who can know the heart? I, the Lord. He says, only I know it. And He says, it's a wicked thing. The heart is deceptive and deceitful and above all things. And God knows our heart, but thank God man can be not only corrupted, but he can have conversion from that sinful nature. His thoughts may be corrupted. His conversation may be corrupted. It don't take long to realize. All you got to do is open your ears and you'll understand man's conversation is corrupt. Sometimes you go to the store and you wish you had on your headphones so you could listen to something else. Because all the junk that's being said, all the things that's being done, all the words that are being, and they have no regard, whoever's there, it just does not matter. You may have a child with you, and it doesn't matter to them. You may have your wife, and they don't care what they say. You know why? Because their heart has been corrupted by sin, and their conversation now shows their corrupt heart. That's our motivation for missions. It's not necessary that we go to the Philippines. It's not necessary that we might go to some country on another continent. All we have to do is go to Walmart down here and you'll find out we have a motivation for missions. It's not that we hear the tragic story of 33 Christians being put to death in North Korea because of only preaching the gospel and starting churches, underground churches. Somebody says, well, they ought not have been doing that anyway. You talk to the Lord about that. I believe we need to go to all the world, preach the gospel, doesn't matter where it is. Well, it's against the law, then the law's wrong. Go tell the world, Jesus says. And so we see it doesn't have to be that, even though that is so very prevalent. It's just down the road from our house. It's just around the corner from where we live. And that is our motivation to go and tell. Jesus says, they have blasphemy in their tongue. They have bitterness in their heart. Their conduct is corrupted by sin. I have listed here Man is filled with unlawfulness. Man's filled with unhappiness. Man is filled with unrest. Man is filled with unbelief. Man needs God. He needs what we have. And so, once a year, we try to put on a special time through a week that we emphasize going and telling people. And God has blessed our missionaries and God has blessed our church. Man is corrupted in his way of life. The Bible says, the way of peace have they not known. Their way is wasted. Their life is destroyed. Their life is without God. Their life has no hope. It has no future because of the corruptness in their life. And then the Bible says even their conscience is seared as with a hot iron. And that just simply means nothing affects them. They've lived the way they've lived and they've done what they've done so long that it doesn't anything, any words you say, anything you do, sometimes it just does not have any effect. But I'll tell you one that can affect them, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. When I fail, when I can't get the job done, I'm glad He can. When I say all that I can say, when I do all that I can do, when we preach all that we can preach, and people still go without God, I'm glad the Holy Spirit can go behind us and He can break the heart. He can tear down the walls. He can do away with the barriers that have been there. And I'll tell you what, we've got a whole generation before us today that are growing up before us and they know not the way of God because nobody is telling them the gospel. Well, they may go to church, but they're not hearing anything. I was listening to a program this morning and I heard it years ago and it wasn't too bad. I was listening this morning and they were playing some music that was by what they said was one of the greatest groups that's ever been. Well, on the secular side of the world, that may be true. They were playing music by the Eagles. And they were taking their music and applying it to the gospel. It's very difficult for me to think that that is ever going to accomplish very much on the spiritual side. For my Bible tells me that as a Christian, I need to speak to myself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Those three. I don't find anything else. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That's the words of the Apostle Paul under the leadership and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have never found too much very spiritual listening to an eagle song. And I'll not go any further because I'm not going to promote that. But there's nothing spiritual there. But I'll tell you what, songs like we sang this morning, I enjoy that. Work for the night is coming. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And you can go down through our book and there are psalms and there's hymns and there's spiritual songs that uplifts the child of God and helps us to understand that God really does love us. If He loved me, He loves them. If He saved me, He can save them. He's not willing that any should perish. The grace of God brings salvation. That's clearly taught in the Scripture. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appears to all men. Through the grace of God, salvation has been provided. And hallelujah, one day, thank God, I didn't resist it. I didn't reject. I didn't disbelieve. Came to know Him as my personal Savior. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in a living God who is the Savior of all men. The reason Paul did what he did was because he realized that Jesus Christ was the Savior of all men. Everyone that will come unto Him, He's their Savior. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul suffered whippings and beatings and being put into jail, put into prison. Paul suffered all that he did because he knew the world out there needed the message that he had. And you and I this morning, we don't have to suffer those things, and the world still needs the message that we've got. Now, there's one or two or three things that we can do. We can reject it and we can say, I'll not be involved. And then I think we will miss some blessings. I know we'll miss blessings. Or we can say, I'll go. And there have been folks that have said, out of this congregation, I'll go. Thank God for every person, every preacher, every missionary out of this church. Thank the Lord. I had a missionary saying, had those quotes up there this morning. One of them said, it doesn't matter how many seats you have, it matters how many that you send. And I believe that's true. And God has blessed us, and God has given us opportunity, and we have a multitude of people preaching the gospel just like we preach it here. And so the endeavor of Grace Baptist Church doesn't go unnoted. There are people that are being preached to in different parts of our country. There are churches that are going on right now that men that have come out of this church are now standing behind a pulpit just like I am. Thank God. There are men that have given themselves and their services is already over because they're 6 or 7 hours ahead of us. And they've had their service. But you know what? They're preaching the same gospel that we preach. Glory to the Lord. And so that's the motivation that we should have, is that there's a world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they do not hear, if they do not go, if they do not take the message, then there is a wrath of God that will fall upon them. And so we will either do nothing about it, or we may go. Somebody say, oh, God wouldn't call me. You don't say that. Well, He wouldn't call me. I'm too. Whatever adjective you put there, God can take care of that. If somebody can say, well, I'm too old. You're never too old. Well, I don't have any education. That's not God's prerequisite for serving Him. So whatever adjective you put there that I cannot go because, God can overshadow that and can overturn that. And you can go. I know missionaries that are on the field that pastored churches until they were 65. They retired and they go to the mission field. We're never too old to serve the Lord. I know folks that have no education that are preaching more effectively than those that have education because they have God. And so we either do nothing, we go, and if we don't go, we can give. And that's what it's all about. That's those 3 years, especially those two. We go or we give. Well, you just don't know my bills. Oh, but God does. Well, you don't know how much. Well, but God does. And God enables us and God helps us. And it's surprising, and we may hear this more even this week, but it's surprising, if we really take inventory, it's surprising how much we do have. It's surprising how much we do use for things that I don't have to do. We just live in the luxury of doing what we want to do. It really bothers me to go to a restaurant and pay $2.50 for a Coke. So I'm, not that I'm tight. I still order my Coke sometimes. But if I do that 4 times a week, you know what that is? That's $10. Oh, but I don't have anything. Oh, yes, we do. We go down and we spend what we want. I'll tell on myself. The other day, we went to Walgreens. And all we bought in there was candy. And I'm a diabetic. Where are you, Miss Jane? She'll give me another pill. Well, I walked out that day, and that lady said, "You all sure have a sweet tooth." But that's all we had. We had those little peanut butter logs, and we had chocolate-covered peanuts, and we had safety suckers. Oh, Walgreens sells those little loop suckers. You remember those from years ago? Best ones around. And so we buy all those things, and I told Sharon, I said, "Well, we spent our $10 today on candy. If we do that all the time, what does that add up per month or per year?" You see, we can do. It's just the little things that we don't ever think about. It's the little things that really add up that we let pass by. And so we can either not do, we can go, or I believe everybody can give. What you give is between you and God, not my business. The Lord being my witness, I know not what anybody in this church gives to anything. I don't know who tithes. I don't know who don't tithe. It's not my business. That's between you and the Lord. I've had preachers say, "You mean you don't know?" I said, "No, I don't know." Because you know what? When I preach on tithing, I won't be able to look at every one of you in the eye and say, "I don't know what you give." When I preach on giving, I don't want to have to say, "Well, now I know they don't give, so I can't say too much." Or, "I know they do give, and I'm not going to hurt their feelings." That's not the way you do. But I do believe that every person in here, from a child to the oldest individual, I believe everybody can do something for the Lord. I believe everybody can give something. And we call it faith promise missions. May God help us to do that. Because sometimes we often forget there is a reserved wrath for people that die without God. There's a tragedy. There's a tragic destiny of the lost. It's called hell. It's a tragic destiny. Dying without God. Spending eternity. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Isaiah says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged itself and has opened her mouth without measure." There is that tragic destiny. And to people that's in this world that's never heard the gospel, there is that threatening destiny that one day they'll go. But you and I, and the missionaries, and the people that love God, we have a way of escape. We can tell them the old story. We can tell them Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them that they might have life. I hope that this week you will, if you can't come to every service, I understand jobs and different things, but you can pray. And if you can come Wednesday night, be here Wednesday night. "Ah, preacher, I've heard it before." That's okay. Need to hear it again. "I've heard Amazing Grace before, and I'd like to hear it again." "Well, we've done this for 35 years. That's all right. We're going to do it one more year." "Well, I've done, and I've done, and I've given, and I've given." And God says, "Continue to do." We'll work when? Till Jesus comes. Because there is a day when no man shall work. Let's stand together this morning.